right, Paisani, welcome back to another episode of the Italian-American Podcast. I'm your host, John Viola, along with my partner in crime, the Italian-American Wikipedia, Mr. Patrick O'Boyle, and the Belle of Bensonhurst, Miss Rosella Rago. And this week, we are coming to you from yet another new location. We are in the Growing Up Italian studios here at what is going to be Red Sauce Brooklyn in the future. It's a brand new studio space they just renovated like 2 weeks ago. And so we're one of the first to come out of here and really thankful for the hospitality. We've been on the road a lot lately and we've been recording out of different spaces, but
in anticipation of what is to come.
Yes, the new studio in Manhattan is coming up probably a couple months from now. God willing, everything goes all right. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to go quick. But we've got some visitors here with us from way further afield than we've been traveling, all the way from down under in Australia. They are Sushi Mango. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. I know a little bit about where that name comes from. We'll talk about it. But we've got Joe, Carmella. Joe. Carlo and Andrew from Sushi Mango, and we're really honored to have you guys on here because you guys are way bigger than we are.
No, come on.
Slightly bigger.
It's a little bit.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Patrick O'Boyle, that's correct. That's not Italian.
That's from the north
of Italy.
Piedmont.
Let's just talk about
let's
that.
About
let's get the cat out of the bag.
The Irish elephant in the room.
What's going on here?
My father's Irish from Ireland.
Okay, that makes sense then.
But my mother's Italian.
Okay.
So that's how I got the token space on.
So how is it you've acquired this label of being the Wikipedia of all things Italian?
I don't know. John dubbed me that.
It's not true. You know nothing.
Is he?
I don't.
Absolutely.
I don't. He really is. I don't bear
you can
that
ask
title.
Him any question you've ever had about why we do things as Italians, why this, why that, he's probably got an answer. I would give him a 90% chance.
Yeah. And Patrick's got.
And it's not a baloney answer either. It's usually a pretty.
Right.
And I would never ever say Napoli that was not well researched.
Yes. Better than people in Napoli.
Do you speak Napoletan? Say something, please.
Well, how much do you want me to say?
It's my favorite dialect. It's my favorite
Italian. Because Napoletan. Yes, Napoletan should be the lingua franca of Italy.
I think so, because we grew up watching Nino D'Angelo and Mario Merola movies. So
Mario Merola is the reason why. I mean, think about this. If you take the things that qualify things to be a language, Neapolitan is in the lead in that. If you go from Molise, from southern Molise and Abruzzo, all the way down to the northern tip of Calabria, a little bit into Lucania, they're all families of Neapolitan. Right. So 7 million people in Italy speak a language that's derived from Neapolitan. Mm. Only 3 million speak Tuscan, but they got Rai. Can you explain that to me?
All right, so here's the Italian Wikipedia.
That's good, that's everything about Italy.
That's very good. Really? See, I get enraged. I get enraged easily, and I get enraged constantly.
I can see.
And what enrages me? No, enrages that
we've got this Unibomber kind of.
Think about this. We're the only country, Italy. Italy is a country of great genius and idiocracy. It's where idiocracy and genius marry each other, right? So if you take Spain, right? You take Catalonia. 17% of Spanish people speak Catalan. Right? Neapolitan is a language of a nation, right? Of a people. But it really is the face of the Italian language around the world, like O Sole Mio and Mario Merola. So when we speak, the world sees Italian through a Neapolitan lens linguistically, and yet it's called a dialect. Think about Sicilian. You're all Sicilians.
Yeah.
Sicilian is the first vulgar language in Italy. You're the first language outside of Latin that was written in Italy, and you go to the north of Italy and you speak Sicilian over a Sicilian accent, they laugh at you.
Oh,
they're the imbeciles.
I didn't know
they
that.
They are the imbeciles.
See, wait, 100%. What just happened was like the scene in My Cousin Vinny where he's like, may I wad-die this witness? I'm like, gentlemen, are we satisfied?
Can I ask you a question?
That's very interesting.
Explain the Barese accent, because that is all over the place.
I think it had to be with the Albanians. It had to be. They're right there on the Adriatic.
What do you reckon? Barese has
the
a lot
Greeks?
Of... My
She's in the first language.
My dialect.
Molese speaking.
You know what we should do a phrase. Pick a phrase. You say it in Napoletano. We say it in Sicilian.
Really
you say it in Barese.
Father. Father.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to say, what then?
Water.
That sounds like Latin.
No, that's
yeah, so it does. But like it?
My, that sounds like Filipino to me.
Stop it.
Stop.
My you dialect say, has a lot of French in it.
Watun. Watun is father.
Watun is your father. Yatanda is your father. Watun is the father.
I've got to say that sounds like Native American to me.
Yatanda is my father.
It does.
Wow.
And but what we say? I will say that Barre's body.
My papa.
My madre, my padre.
In Florence, they say babbo.
Yes, they do babbo.
But when I called you no babbo, that means you're an idiot. Yeah.
But that's a Sicilian word.
Yeah, babbe americano. So we'll say out of body, the greatest, in our opinion, we're very influenced by this man.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Lino Banfi.
Lino Banfi. Mm,
yes. Is the greatest, to me, the greatest Italian comedian ever.
One of.
What, for me, he's my favorite Italian comedian. We grew up watching his movies, and we used to bite his hand and slap it in and all that kind of stuff. We're very much influenced by that, like by the Italian movies of that era, that, you know, those cheap.
Well, we used to love. Yeah. Well, the dog was earlier.
The dog was earlier.
The dog was earlier, but these movies were a little bit.
Like Vigilio Urbano used to have all those ripe.
Well, we used to watch Jerry Gallagher, Jerry Gallagher, Cristo De Sica.
Franco Ciccio, too.
Franco Ciccio.
Pierino. But they were cheaply made. Come on, they used to have a little bit of nudity in them. So when you were 8 years old, you used to watch the
You sit there with your mum and dad, and there's a woman watching herself.
And she was watching it, and little bunny would be looking through the door, peeking at her. You know?
The shampoo commercial.
Remember those?
It's the Italy of a different time. That's a big byproduct.
A lot of Little Bumpy's movies were like that. They were all the same, a little bit B.
Yeah.
B grade.
Slapstick.
Just hilarious. They used to run that sort of audio over it where he'd slap someone and there was that.
Yeah, but you know what I think that's this is my just opinion with that. And this is, I think, where Mario Merola is similar in the sense that they are not really making movies. They are like vaudevillians.
Yeah, right.
It's almost like a theater. It's like, you can't come to my theater, but I'm going to put on a theater production.
Absolutely.
And you're going to watch
it.
And I think that's, if you go back, I'm always going to fight a Neapolitan flag when it comes to theater, but the south of Italy is theatrical because even in the Middle Ages, I mean, think of the Romans. The Romans were always going to the theater.
That's right.
The Greeks, they had plays in Greek, they had plays in Latin, they had plays in Oscan, right? They had the languages that were there before the Romans even got there.
Think of the Sicilian marionette tradition.
Yeah, sure. We have
so much of our history is passed on through this stuff.
And that's why I think we're more theater than we are movie. I mean, we are movie, but
every Mario Merola film, someone was dying. Either his mum was dying, his son was dying, someone was dying.
It's the Neapolitan fatalism is so much part of that. Yeah.
Everyone was dying in Mario Merola films.
Yes, because that's...
And Nudangelo always cheated on his missus.
Little Bumpy, everyone.
He's like 5'4" and weighs 100 pounds and he's cheating all
over the place.
With hot women.
Little Bumpy was the same. Bald, fat, hot, blonde.
Yeah.
I'm going to become bald and flat.
Yeah. Look at
Benigni. Yeah, but that's the great... That's an Italian triumph.
Same thing.
Yeah. That's the message. That is like an Italian...
This could be...
That's like the dog the Italian's rooting for. The fat bald guy gets the hot woman.
That's right.
And the Italian feels justified.
Look at the variety shows on Raw. You got like a corpse, a 900-year-old man, and like 18-year-old showgirls.
They elected one prime minister for 20 years.
He was
a corpse.
But think of Andreotti. Every politician they had in most countries will be in old age home.
Yes,
right. They ran those countries, and the idea of a old quasi dictator with a young hot woman is the Italian ideal.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Right?
A lot of experience, but still virile. I think that's a good...
Yeah, explain it. Yeah. Ha-ha, I pulled it off.
Yeah.
I'm so proud, yeah, sure.
It's interesting that you guys talk about that because, you know, your influences, you guys do, first of all, so much around our culture and the culture of all these sort of different ethnic groups have come to Australia through Sushi Mango, but there is the sketch... element, right?
Our show is full sketch.
Your show is full sketch.
It's fully scripted, full sketch show, and there's like four different sketches, completely scripted, and then at the end, and there's a couple of numbers, songs that we do parodies of. One's called Jersey, but well, you know, Jersey Boys. Mm-hmm. We're called the Greasy Boys, and we do a full parody of a medley of the Jersey Boys.
Wow!
But it's all, you know, about our culture, you know,
and that tradition, really.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And all of our sketches are like little plays, if you want to call them that, and they go for 20, 25 minutes each one.
Different characters.
Different characters. And so the dads have a section, and they have a situation. Then we have some Greek characters who own a fish and chip shop. Do you guys know?
You guys have fish and chip shops?
Fish and chip shops.
No, it's your thing. We had one. It was a British place, but it closed.
It closed down.
Yeah, it did, yeah. So I used to go a lot.
In Australia, there's fish and chip shops, and the Greeks owned them, and the Greeks made the best fish and chip shops in Australia.
See, here Greeks own diners.
Yeah. But they went to similar businesses. Think about all the fish and chip shops in Ireland are from people from Lazio. Sort of Frosinone area.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Well, you know, they went there, they were probably cheap enough to buy or to open, and they would run them, and they'd do a good job.
So if the Greeks have got a diner here, you would relate to our sketch, them in the diner.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so you still relate.
Yes.
It's just because we don't serve fish, but there's the phone calls, there's this, it's dirty, it's a bit, this, that.
Well, you got what we never got. You had immigrants from the UK.
Yes.
So they brought their, like, fish and chips is their thing.
Oh, well.
They never came to the colonies after 1776.
No, well, the Australians are
1776.
Are English convicts, right. Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That the original Australians are descendants of convicts that came here. And so that's.
They sent them.
Italians came
on the first voyage.
On the first voyage
but
as well.
Can I ask you guys, do you guys feel Australian or do you feel Italian?
In Australia, we're Italian.
Because
look at us.
You don't look like Crocodile Dundee.
No.
But then when we go to Italy, where, well, first of all, they used to call us American.
American.
Could you know American?
You know? But realistically.
But now it's Australian. So we say we're Australian when we're in Italy. But when we're in Australia, we say we're Italian.
We're Australians, but we still go for the Italian national team back at home.
So do we. That's a shame.
I always said it's no wonder they question us. Two Italian for Americans and two American for Italians.
That's a good description.
The thing is, when you grow up in the Italian culture and you have the food and the song and the dance and the nonna that can hardly speak English and this and that, if you feel Italian, you go to a school and you see your Australian friends and you see what they're eating and you're like, oh, I can't really relate. Yeah. I'm Italian. But we are Australians. We're proud Australians as well. But, funnily enough, Italy played Australia in the World Cup in 2006.
I remember that game. That was a tough game.
You remember?
Yeah.
Can you imagine us? Because we had to deal with...
Well, we played USA too. I think we lost the USA on an own goal, if I remember, in 2006.
Oh, you guys did.
Didn't we? It was the only game Italy lost.
No, that was... you're talking about...
Early on.
Early on. 94.
They tied on an own goal. Thank you, Rocco.
But imagine us having to deal with... The dive. Australia.
We're still raging today.
So we've had to deal with
great
that.
Game. That's a nerve wracker.
For so many years
now. It was like, choose a side. And it was like, where are you going to go? I knew I couldn't take away all the years of watching the game with my dad and the passion. It's like turning out a fire that you just can't turn. It keeps growing in you, right? You can't turn it out.
Yeah.
It's there. You can't just say, oh, I've got this fire for the Australian team.
Getting up at 4 a.m. because we always watched.
I think we as Americans don't understand them in this sense that I think that Canada is the same way because America, you're American, right?
Yeah.
So we have a country that's very much, we're not a country of ethnicity by blood. We're a country on a theme, right? This whole, whatever you want to call the American dream.
Yeah.
So we had a very strong system here of Americanization because that's kind of like the mold that was put in. If you take their foundation, like if you take the big Italian diaspora communities, it's us, Australia, and Canada. Australia and Canada have the same foundations. They're British.
Well, they're from the same Commonwealth. Anyway.
Right, the same Commonwealth. But the UK is it's a United Kingdom. Yeah. Right? You have Scotland, Wales. So they have nationalities. So the British Crown is a nation of nations. So I think in Canada and Australia, they were more open to the idea of a nation of nations. So I think that we have more of a, I don't want to say issue.
No, the American identity is a, you sort of like buy into it lock, stock,
and
barrel.
Yeah, I'm going to invest.
It's a set of values and ideas, I think, in people's mind. And like, when I was in Australia, I did a tour of Australia with the Italo-Australian communities. And I remember an old timer, I used the word assimilate. And he got mad at me. And he said, in Australia, we don't talk about assimilation. We talk about integration. So we as Italian Australians integrate into the whole, but we don't have to become Australian. What do you guys call like real Australians?
Aussies.
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 But this,
no, stop. I'm joking.
Sorry, man. I can't hold it.
But like, the waspy ones, the British ones.
Skips.
Skips. Yeah, like we'd say Medigan. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
You don't have to become a skip.
No.
You can be fully Australian.
Like we, like I said before, we're fully Australian, but we've sometimes, well, not sometimes, we are branded ethnic comedy.
Mm-hmm. We know we are. We're most different. Doesn't matter which way we spin it. We are.
We're
ethnic comedians, even though we battle not to be. We just want to be a comedian.
And in saying that, like, you know, we've done a few things back at home, which, you know, and please don't take this the wrong way, but we're very good. And we've done a couple of things at home with, you know, a few records and this, that, the other. And, you know, just then they started going, oh, yeah, come on this show, come on that show. But before that, you really got to work.
Yeah.
You know, and is it
harder for us to get accolades in Australia? And I don't think you guys would have that here, to be honest, in America. I feel like maybe
Italian
Americans, you know, we're on TV a lot more. And for us, it was a little bit different.
We had the 50s.
Well, you had that.
We had Frank Sinatra. We came out heavy in the 50s. Yeah. And we blew everybody else away.
In the 50s, we...
Tony Martin, I'll break his legs.
You were getting there. Your 1950s was our 1870s. We had 80 years on
it. I love that. And that era of Sinatra, Dean Martin... The roasts, all those things. Even Don Rickles, even though he's Jewish, I say he's Italian. Yeah. Even Elvis was Italian.
Yeah.
But
I thought he was Italian for years. Yes.
But think about it.
Yeah, when I was a kid.
What was it, the hair?
It was the hair. Him and Tony Curtis, I was so upset they weren't Italian.
I know. Anyway. But that's a lot of people, because like Pat's point, you know, we were defining the popular culture then, right? So if you were cool in that era, there was a wash of being Italian in this country.
Absolutely.
It was a cool thing.
But you understand, we earned it because of the war.
Yeah, right.
You're complaining about a soccer game. Can you imagine getting drafted in Australia to go fight a war against Italy?
Yeah, but that was a dive. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Say it again. What are you saying?
You're talking about having divided loyalties over a soccer game.
Right.
We had divided loyalties over a war, World War II.
Yeah. So what are you saying? You came here and you got...
Oh, yeah. You're born in Stromboli and you get a draft notice for the American Army.
Yeah, right. And you got to fight the Italians.
My grandfather fought
a Muhammad Ali type of vibe, right?
Oh, yeah, who's saying, you know... So the largest...
Wow, that's
insane.
The largest fighting...
The Baddies didn't have that problem because they all dodged.
No one could understand the Baddies.
They pulled the tooth out. They were like...
You got to remember, the Italian Americans supported Mussolini more than anybody else. We sent them gold, we sent them copper, all through New York. They had Mussolini rallies. So the biggest support that Mussolini had, at least all through the Italian Americans. And then when he declares war in the U.S. after bombing of Pearl Harbor, they look like idiots in this country.
We don't know none of that. You know, all we know is The Godfather.
And kangaroos.
But think about this, though. This is an important point, too. The largest percentage of the American armed forces in the Second World War was Italian Americans. So we were the largest portion of the fighting force. And in a lot of cases, those who were fighting in the European theater were fighting through Italy. So my grandfather invaded his own hometown where he was born.
Wow, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
How about that?
That's something we don't... Our grandfather was captured by the Germans.
Germans.
And
5 years he was in the camp.
5 years, came back home, and my nonna made him a plate of pasta, and he couldn't stand Germans. Saw a German in a bar once, hit him with a chair. Like he was
crazy.
So that's because we came later. Like you said, we didn't have that Italians being in the country for that long period of time. So that was an issue that our ancestors never had to face.
Yeah.
But in saying that, you guys are part of the fabric. Italians are part of the fabric here, especially in New York and Boston, Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Part of the fabric. It's like without you take it out, it's like you're missing a whole, like a huge chunk of America goes missing when the Italians are, you know, that's why we used to watch Italian, like New York and America, because there's Pacino and De Niro and, you know, Stallone, the greatest of all time, Stallone, you know what I mean? Like there's a...
He's a,
he's a fan, obviously. No,
well, in one of your videos, when you're doing the videos where you say the names of the actors, it's
Rocky,
always Rocky.
Rocky.
imagine an America without Italian. It's not
well, you
as
can't,
good,
you sort of can't imagine it.
It's not
opinion,
as good.
There's something very uniquely, like, on the way I was walking down the streets and I said to the boys, something quite, a first time in America for me, and something very unique about his Italian presence. But it's not Italian presence in the way I know it, or the way the way it is in Italy. Well, but it's here, and you can feel it.
But is it?
I can't put my finger on
because
how it
Italian
is.
Italian American culture is very much its own culture.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And is it because that we've seen it for so long on the TV
maybe,
or whatever, and you think, and it's associated with Italian American? Like, I'm walking down the street here, seeing these houses, seeing the steps, seeing Carmine's Pizza. You know, you're like, oh my god, that's what I saw that when I was watching that movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
even though,
that,
even though, like, just seeing a pizzeria, like you said, it says Carmine's Pizzeria. It's like, oh, I've seen it. It's probably a crap pizzeria, but it's just like,
it's actually quite
good. Carmine's good.
Yeah, Carmine's
good.
It's good pizza.
Come to the show.
We're all friends.
They're probably
here.
Lobsters as well.
They're waiting outside of the big
yeah. We love Carmine's
it's
Pizza.
It's the best.
but. Yeah, just seeing these things for us, we become like kids.
Kids,
yeah. Because it's like we're always watching America and watching, because we were looking at us. We were looking at Italians in America. Like, that's, we can identify with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think to Pat's point, like, that's being 50 years, 60, 70 years difference in the immigrant experience. So in some sense, you guys may be, without even realizing it, particularly as you've exploded all over the world now because the world's so much smaller, but maybe you are in that Sinatra Dean Martin class for the Italian-Australian community, you know?
God,
think about that. I'm not blowing sunshine, but that's something to think
just
about.
Give me goosebumps.
Are you guys on the cusp
the kangaroo pad.
Where,
I feel like
where you're defining
I feel,
a lot of
I feel
Italian,
like,
Australian.
I'm trying to be humble, but after you said that, I need someone to present me with a plaque.
There's Ganoles in the back.
John
Alguri. You're going to define what Italian Australia means. You're the definer.
I'd like to take credit, but no, there's been many comedians that's come before.
There is
you're part of that mosaic.
But at the
Joe
moment,
Vardy, you're all
sure, absolutely.
Part of that.
But the way you guys do it is so nuanced.
Yeah.
And there's such an attention to the really tiny details that I notice because I'm a big nerd for that.
Well,
stuff.
So we.
You know, but you guys got it all right. Like, when I watch one of your videos or when I see a snippet of, like, a successful restaurant now, I mean, you got the tablecloths right. You got the china closet right. You got the Vestalia right. There's so many little tiny things that, you know, if we don't document them, they get lost.
Yeah. Well, that's why we want to do it, because it feels like, for us anyway, it feels like that the contribution that the Italians and even Greeks and all this, the Europeans made to the country of Australia, it feels like it gets overlooked. It feels like what we built and what we made, it's like not in the history books, you know?
Our way is
to say, hey, you know, we do it by slapstick comedy and it's, you know, the way we do it. But it's our way of saying, hey, this is going to stay here and we're going to make sure it stays here and everyone sees it for as long as they can possibly see it, because these people came here, did something good, and they were funny, they were quirky, and this is our way of sort of paying back. The only way we know how to do it is through comedy. That's because we're...
It's interesting because some people have said, that we're making fun of the culture.
I was just about to say that, yep.
But we're celebrating the culture. It's an absolute celebration.
Yeah.
And keeping it alive and keeping the spirits of the memories and the spirits of these people that have long passed alive. Again, a bit sentimental in this, but it's true. Like Carl said, that a whole in Australia, it wasn't so. It may have been uniquely Italian here, but in Australia, Greeks and Croatians and Serbians and
Lebanese.
They all had the same kind of looking houses and the tiles and the cristalieras and all that. So for us, it's about keeping the spirit of not just Italians, but very much so. We're Italian and we're proud of our culture, but all ethnicities and all immigrants that traveled away from their country of origin and set up shop and contributed to the nation wherever they moved to.
That's the money's all good.
That was revolutionary.
We need business class flights here.
We all on Christian Dior's and all that.
You guys are going to get so much malocchio because you're business class.
I've been doing comedy the whole time.
You got to find your back. We wear red underwears every time we do these.
That's your major contribution is the concept of a wog.
Yeah, yeah.
That was really brilliant when you think about it, because you amalgamated like Lebanese and Greek. You put them all in one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's something that blew me away. That was their concept, that commonality of...
Well, we just didn't want to just do like we could have done one of the very first early videos, just spoken Italian or done Italian, but Australia's got so many different nationalities. I mean, I know you guys do here too, obviously, but I don't know.
There's something about Polish, Greeks, Macedonians and Croats, all these people are fans because I think in the beginning, we're Italian, right? When you hear us, you can hear the accent. You're like, okay, they're playing Italians. But to them, if we don't say the intricate words, they feel included also because they see the same crockery, the same tablecloth. Yep. They use it. But if we don't go to the level of saying Italian words, they're going to feel included too. You're with us on this as well, on this journey as well. So they feel welcomed through comedy. Yeah?
Some of your videos are really applicable to so many, like your mom on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
That video
got some 20 million views or something, and it's because it went to Russia. It went to...
Yeah.
You know, Lithuania. I went because you could see the sharing and you're seeing.
Maybe
the
parents are just friggin' annoying.
Everyone.
I think one of the things that I think it is I think we as Italians, people like we see it with our show, right? He used to joke all the time that what's the opposite of an Italian? It's a Norwegian. And we used to say like, the Norwegians wouldn't get this. But now people write us and they're like, no, I'm Norwegian American and I love your show. I think it's because we as Italians, the things that our culture emphasizes are food and family.
Yep.
And they're really human, guttural things, right? You talked about doing this because like you choke up talking about the people that came before us. That's really human. We know we come from something greater than ourselves. And I think, especially in today's world where that's sort of become ephemeral to people, I think it's really appealing to people because there's an authenticity that is relatable across cultures. That idea of the parent and those relationships, we're just like a good lens on it. Absolutely. So if you don't overemphasize how different we are or those, like you say, the words, I think it's inviting to everybody because it's really human.
It's funny you say that. We have Indian people that follow us or come up to us and Chinese because they're all got the same values.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that was beaten with a bat growing up.
We talked about that the other day. My mom was recalling and trying to recall if she actually hit us. I'm like, Mom, you got to be. She had a wooden board. I'll never forget. She had a wooden board like the paddle. Yeah. She got it on vacation. I'll never forget. She got it in Gettysburg. And she's put it over the refrigerator. And then we got big. My brother's a big dude. And it broke on his... Hulo, yeah. And it was like a celebration. It was like the Wicked Witch of the West died and the Wizard of Oz. All the munchkins came out. We were so happy because the paddle broke. But you can't do that today, unfortunately.
It's.
But you said a word authenticity before, and you said it as well. It's important to be authentic as well and to get the little one percenters down. I think that's what you were saying. When you see a video or, you know, you see the background, what's in the background is just as important. The little, you know, where you are. We rent a house in it's in Avondale.
In Melbourne.
So we've got a house and that's where we film all our content.
But this place, Avondale, it's like
a time capsule from the 70s, 80s. It's like untouched.
All the houses where all 40 years ago, a lot of the Italian families that made a bit of dollars, it wasn't, you know, it was a bunch of land. They would go and build these big houses. Which I think happened here a lot, right? Like a lot of places, they build these big houses, but they did them pretty much all the same. So, like our restaurant with the carpet and the cristalletta and the yellow stained glass, that's in pretty much all those houses.
Let's talk about the restaurant.
Yeah.
How do you come up with this idea? Because your restaurant, as Ro pointed out when she first brought this to our attention, it looks like these houses, right?
Yes.
It's very familiar to people in the trappings. How did that concept come about?
Basically, it was an idea from a friend of ours who owns a chain of burger stores. And we were talking once and we're like, we should open up a restaurant or a diner, comedy diner. This is about 5 or 6 years ago. And we were just starting. And then another good friend of ours who he's got a place called 400 Grady in Melbourne. And he won the best pizza in the world.
He's got restaurants in Melbourne. Over to Naples and won best margarita in the world, beat all the Neapolitans.
Wow.
It just exploded, made it huge.
That must have really thrown a lot of people off in Naples.
Right,
I can only imagine.
Yeah. So then we were speaking to him and we're like, let's put a little hole in the wall and call it like a sushi express. You do the pizza, we'll bring the people. Again, that was an idea. Then in COVID, one of Carlo's friends, my friend, more closer to Carlo.
I was talking to him about in England, they've got, well, you guys might have them here, sports bars. You guys have sports bars here where you go and watch the game?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
We don't have many of those in Melbourne. Right?
Really?
And we were talking after COVID, he said to me, he goes, there's not that many sports bars. And after COVID, there's going to be a huge incline of people wanting to go out. He goes, we should open up a sports bar. I said, funny you say that. There's a concept for a sushi mango restaurant that we've had for years. Maybe we could put this in motion. So you talked to Danny, the guy with the burger chain.
Burger place.
And he was still keen as. And then the key to the food was through Johnny, the 400 Grady guy, the pizza maker guy.
Pizza champion.
Because his food is incredible with his chain of restaurants. So we went and spoke to him. We pitched it to him and he was in and we just that was how it sort of started. But the concept is based on our brand.
We've got this marriage happening really well. So our brand and what we bring and the authenticity and the plates and the glasses and the tablecloths, we created that concept, all three of us. And then you got Johnny, who created the pizza guy. he created the menu. He's also Sicilian. He cooks authentically Italian too. So it's very home style cooking. Huh. So you got a marriage of this place that not only feels like home but
tastes like it serves
you food that when you grew up. It got the lefty and like home style cooking, the pipe patata and all that kind of stuff. So it's quite a unique place in itself.
And again,
it enabled us to buy Dior's and Flubby.
Yeah.
Not really.
But it doesn't, because it's not like a love job.
Hasn't made a return yet.
It cost us an absolute fortune. But in saying that, going back to Danny and Johnny, Johnny, the pizza guy. I call him the pizza guy, but he's got multiple restaurants and he's done so much more.
But that's a good nickname, Johnny. Pizza guy. I would take that.
But he was the very first person to give us a paid video.
Really?
For Sushi Mango.
Yeah.
And Danny was probably the second or the third. So me and the boys, we always respect anyone.
We had a good relationship with them.
Do you know what I mean? Never burnt, no, whatever. We always stick with them.
Yeah.
You know, whoever looked after us at the start, so we were like, let's do this together. We couldn't do it with anyone else.
So funny, when you guys got here, right, you did the Grown Up Italian show and we've gotten to spend a couple of hours now listening to you or talking to you. And we were talking about the Italian, again, kind of inability to work together. And I think that that's changing in a lot of places. So it's certainly changing here and hopefully for you guys. But the idea that you can find people like that are there to support you in the beginning and you
absolutely
can go on this adventure together and you can, God willing, succeed together in business and grow together. And that's what other communities have done well for a long time. And I feel like we've failed to do internationally, in Italy and in Australia and Canada.
It's not all like that at home.
The community that had done it the best is the Jewish community.
Yeah, absolutely.
They and still do it the best. I mean, they stick together, support each other, you know, springboard off each other. The Italians, unfortunately, Italians get jealous.
Yeah. Yes,
with
it's
other
true.
People. And that seeps in and it's like, no, you can't have what I don't have. But if we change the mentality and everyone works together, then, you know, good things can happen. But
yeah.
I thought I was Jewish when you got here.
I thought you look everything.
Bro, I thought you were all Italian. You know that. Fool.
What is Ro really?
Pugliese.
Pugliese.
But yeah, man, that's what happened with the restaurant. Yeah.
So it turned into this place of like, and I hope you all have a chance to come one day, and you know, we
got to do it.
You know, dying to go.
Yeah, we want to do Greetings from Italian America, which is our YouTube show. We want to do Greetings from Italian America.
Which is amazing, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I really love that. Yeah. I watched it the other day, and
that's
like,
an honor.
This is awesome. Production's great. The editing, everything's awesome.
Well, now we know who to talk to when we want to come film in Australia.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Appear like at the restaurant, like in drag, like in your outfit.
No, we don't drag.
You guys are my favorite drag show. Yeah.
Drag. I never realized that I'm
a No one's ever said that, actually.
I love you guys. It's a half a drag show.
She's sleeping in the bag in the back room.
It's not. We don't.
To the restaurant, we don't.
No, we don't, because we wanted the restaurant to stand. It is our brand. It's called Johnny Vincent Sam's, and the logo is the three heads of the dads, but we wanted it to stand on its own two feet. We didn't want people to think, I'm going to the restaurant to see the boys. Because we're going to charge them $100 for a ticket to the show.
Right.
So, but
honestly, we wanted it to have its own life.
Yes,
We sort of say that the restaurant is a character.
Yes.
Itself. But we didn't want it to be Disneyland.
Right.
We didn't want people to go there and think, oh my God, look at this, all this gimmick. And then,
so there's not going to be audio animatronics of you guys? The presidents at Disney World?
None of that. Like, it's all just... Like, you got to go in. Yeah, you get the nostalgia.
Yeah.
You get the hit. Might bring you tears, which is done for some people because we give whether it's the plate or this or that.
It's a 360-degree experience.
Right. Yeah, and then the food comes out and it knocks you in the face. And that's why we got Johnny on board, and it's an amazing food because everyone's going to come back for the food.
You can't have Olive Garden style food if you, especially us, but like being authentic, Olive Garden's crap, right?
Yeah, you could poo-poo Olive Garden.
It's an odd
So
you can imagine us who are the knights of authenticity, and we come to our restaurant, and then you leave with Olive Garden experience. It's not happening.
Bologna
Alfredo.
Bologna Alfredo.
That's Nick DiPaolo's joke, not mine. But yeah, it's true. But
Bologna
Alfredo.
Italians and Europeans aren't going to have that.
No.
You know, you get away with it, some people, but not with the masses.
No, and that's why.
You've got more responsibility, I think,
absolutely.
Being an Italian-Australian, because the Italians are going to come over and wait for you to fail the authenticity. So you got a higher bar that you got to
get. We get offered quite a lot of other commercial experience or commercial offers, and we have to weigh it up.
Yeah.
Do we do it, or does it look like we're completely selling out? You know, so a lot we pass.
Well, you guys have wine too.
We've got wine as well, in like so we've got a Sangiovese and a Moscato, Rosé, Prosecco, and we did like a crema tiramisu flavor, like a Bailey's.
Like a Bailey's.
That sounds so good.
You have a lot of Italian-Australian wine producers.
There's
any
a lot.
Any wines that are Australian wines are produced by Italian-Australians?
There's a lot of wines that use the grapes that are grown by Italian producers. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of areas in Australia.
Griffiths.
Very well.
How do you know? Because when I was in Mola, okay, Lucia Mancini was from Griffith, and she would come to Mola every year.
Oh, there you go.
And she got Griffith as soon as she could.
Yeah.
There's
Griffith
is an interesting place.
A very interesting place.
They grow grapes and they allegedly grow some other stuff.
It's where the Moles farmers settled in Australia. Could you imagine?
There's Moles in Australia?
Of course, Lucia Mancini.
Oh, yeah.
Moleza.
She's from Mola di Bari. I didn't know they went.
They're like, they are like a real southern tribe. They know each other all over the world, the Moles.
There's one Moles everywhere you go.
Then you know them all.
Molfette. There's a lot of Molfettes in Australia.
No, there's a lot of Moles in Australia.
There's a lot of Calabrian. There's a lot of Abruzzese.
They still treat Calabrian as the dominant?
A lot of Calabrian.
I would say it's
Griffith. Calabrian
Sicilian is they're on par. They're on par.
Probably a bit more Calabrian.
They're the dominant.
Dominant. And then Abruzzese.
He's saying Calabrese dominant. I reckon it's on par.
No, I'd say Calabrese Sicilian.
Calabrese Sicilian is very
strong. And then Abruzzese.
Abruzzese,
and then Napolitano as well.
I'm married to an Abruzzese. They could slip into anything. They sort of just like thicken the sauce. They don't add too much of their own character flavor, really. You know, like the Abruzzese.
But yeah, so there's a lot of people, like a lot of the Italian producers. Like they came in, like one of the biggest grape growers is a Sicilian family. Yeah, and they're out. They're close to Griffith. Actually, they got vineyards in Griffith and in Mildura. So our wine comes from a lot of the places in Mildura, and there's a lot of Italians there. Yeah, for many years.
Do you have like a lot of Italian Australian cheese producers, charcuterie producers that you use some domestic stuff because
there are some. I don't know if they're Italian. There are cheese producers in Australia.
But it's interesting about the salumi in Australia is we can't actually import prosciutto from anywhere else in the world. It's going to be made in Australia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what? There's strict regulation. Yeah,
but we've got DPO at our place.
No, we got the mozzarella buff.
No, but isn't the prosciutto DPO?
No, speak to Johnny. He's the one who sold me.
Not DPO? This is a prosciutto being sliced.
It's made in Australia under the same strict processes as it's made in Italy, but it's made in Australia.
I want to champion that because I think Italy beats us up a lot. There are a lot of Italian-sounding products in the United States that are garbage, but there's also people here who are making excellent products.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, we have good land here too. If you put the same care and attention that Italy does into their food, we can do it here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're not allowed to say that in Italy because that's like heterodox things to say.
But the stuff that gets put on the wheat here and in Australia, you know, the pesticides and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff and to grow them, they don't use that over there. So you can eat bread over there and dough and you don't bloat. The reason why you bloat here is because of all the stuff that they treat it with.
Oh, don't get Pat started on this, please.
Like, Pat, isn't it Parmigiano Reggiano?
You can't call it that. Well, America plays its own rules.
Yeah.
We have so Parmesan. We've had
these constant wars with
Italy.
Which
is a real thing. So if you have Parmigiano-style cheese in Wisconsin, you got to call it Parmesan.
Yeah.
See, the beautiful thing about an English language podcast is no one from Italy listens.
So they don't come in. So we can be honest about them.
Because, you know, we got beat up. We got crucified.
They just find me on Facebook and terrorize me.
Because we say stuff. Yeah, they came after me. I made one comment.
Oh, yeah, because he had one viral video.
They came out of the mountains and the valleys and they
went
after
it. Feels that way, doesn't it?
Because I said that.
What did you say?
An Italian politician. I didn't even say this. I was quoting an Italian politician. He said, Italy's becoming a country of waiters and innkeepers.
God. Was that you?
That was me.
I seen that.
They went after me.
I got upset when I watched it as well.
You see, because, well, hold on, I didn't even say that.
Was that you?
Yeah, but I
feel like punching you in the face.
They came here. They went after
me. Hold on a second.
I was getting hate mail. But my thing is when they edited it, they cut out that I said an Italian politician said. So they stuck this on me. And they was that you? They came out. I said, these are
Rocco, you're
was that Rocco, was it?
Yeah, it was Rocco. Yeah,
Rocco knows the ingredients on how to make a viral video.
Rocco's the guy.
The reason I bring it up is that they say now people in Parma that the Parmigiano Reggiano of 150 years ago, that Parmigiano Reggiano has evolved. The way they produce it.
Right.
And then if you go to Wisconsin, which is like our dairy land, that the Parmesan, the high quality Parmesan, which is a knockoff of the Parmigiano Reggiano, the taste profile is what Parmigiano Reggiano tasted like 150 years ago. They went berserk. I mean, they went apoplectic.
Say that.
I mean, you can't even say it. Like, you have to say everything in America is garbage.
Yeah.
Italy is the best. And my argument is that we had Fior di Latte Mozzarella last week. I think that my grandmother, from a family of mozzarella
that makers. That was delicious.
Piano di Sorrento was the Agerolo, was the Wisconsin of Italy. And I think that the real good Fior di Latte that we had in Tuckahoe last week was as good as anything I've ever had. Yes. Now, Buffalo is a different animal. We all agree with that. It was as good as Fior di Latte as Italy. If I said that in Italy, they would drown me.
They would
stone me.
Rocco's going to make another viral video.
Why do we have to? Like,
It's just as good as Italy.
I'm sick of saying it's almost as good as Italy. You can, in Australia, you can't do exactly what Italy does, but you can stand toe to toe.
Well, let me tell you something about the produce in Australia is the cattle, the beef, is the best in the world.
Sure,
it actually is. It's shipped all over the world. It's Australian first and Argentinian second. Mm. We've got the best cows.
So a lot of people don't know.
Because they're out eating grass and...
It's just the right weather, the happy cows, you know.
The regulations in Australia are so strict and tight that it makes our produce hands down the best in the world. And I'm not boasting about
it. No, you're just being
a... It's because of the fact that it's so stringent, so difficult to do anything in Australia. Because remember, we're only 200 years old. So it learned off all the mistakes of every other nation. It's so overregulated, by the way.
It's ridiculously overregulated. When the supermarkets demand things and need longer shelf life, this, that, the other, then they start spraying stuff and putting stuff in that bloats you out, that makes you sick, that does all this kind of stuff.
That's why I'm bloated.
Italy doesn't have that.
Yeah.
That's one thing Italy doesn't have.
They got that on us. True. But if you, I'm saying, if you went out in the middle, wherever your fertile areas are, same way as like upstate New York, they produce some fantastic vegetables. So if you have these small farmers that grow organically and don't spray all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
We got the land. But my argument to Italy is like, thank God none of them, their English is terrible. So they can't come in here chasing after us, right? Because we can, if we put the time and effort that they do, and plant the quality that they do, and the varietals, we can stand toe to toe. And you guys are trying to.
I'm not sure, man.
I'll tell you what. I think you got the Mediterranean Ocean. You got the Italian.
He's right. Yeah, you got environment.
You get pretty damn close.
No, you can't.
No. Hold on. Let's tweak this.
You can't replicate the pianolo tomatoes. You can't. No, but
you get pretty close. You get pretty close.
What about the oranges that come out of Sicily?
But hold on.
This is the orange man.
I gotta tweak what I'm saying. You're taking me out of context. We can't replicate.
You can
right?
get pretty close.
So mozzarella di buffalo, if you're not in Caserta, if you're in Aversa or Santa Maria da Capua, where the buffalo, you can smell him down the road. If you're 5 kilometers away, the mozzarella is not the same. Yeah. So I'm saying is that, yes, Italy has, before the, thank God they don't speak English, because I would be drowned tonight, right? But my thing is that, yes, you can't copy so much of what Italy does. And Italy does stand as number one. But what I'm saying is, there's stuff that we can produce. I had a piece of cauliflower. I'm a sick person, is what I think about. I had from a farmer's market, a farmer in central New Jersey grew a cauliflower that was life-changing cauliflower.
What the hell, man?
Oh, it was unbelievable because the taste.
Are you sure then? You sure it wasn't a mushroom? No,
phenomenal. But I'm saying
magic cauliflower.
It was like an Italy moment.
Did you boil
it? And I said, we can do this.
Was it boiled?
We can do this. But I, as an American, I feel we can do this because
maybe you should make a public apology to all Italians out there just to clear everything up.
Screw them.
I said
this may be the last man that'll ever make a public apology for anything.
I remember going to Positano and I had some buffalo mozzarella and it changed my I never tasted before.
Yeah.
Because at home, this is going back now. This is going back 10 years ago, yeah? So it's changed now. Right, it's so much better now. But back at home, it was like as if you were just chewing on a piece of blue tack. Do you have blue tack here?
Yeah, thumbtack.
Right,
yeah.
Right, thumbtack, right. Whereas then when I was over there, the taste, it just blew up in your mouth. So maybe now with the way things are and people are learning more and the internet and everyone can learn and change things, but people are learning to do things better.
I agree.
That 10 years ago, 15 years ago, shit, man.
I think you can get pretty damn close.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We can do it. We don't always have to stand there ashamed of what we have anymore. Well, yours is always better and I'll never be as good. I'm sick of that.
Yeah.
I'm sick of having to go like we're second-class citizens. your dialect is incremental.
I believe my focaccia is as good as the one I'm
got. Absolutely.
Right?
That's got pesticides in it because of the flowers.
Mom, what do you want?
Okay, Pat, let's start talking about potatoes for the other half. Now, with the...
No, I know what you mean, but it's never going to happen. Never going to be better because of what we said about what they're treating the wheat with. That's the major...
You're the revolutionary. You're like Castro up in the Seattle. Like, we're fighting because I think there's so much... Like, you think whole food, like the food that we'll call Anglophonia, right? Australia, Canada, the U.S., things you can get much better stuff now than you could 20 years ago, right? Because we were like missionaries and we educated people how to eat. Right? That's what you did in Australia, right? You civilized the country.
That's
right?
Like arugula.
When you came
in the 1980s, arugula shocked people. People didn't have any idea what to do with that stuff. Mm. I remember in the 90s, my grandfather would go to people's lawns.
Right off the
That's all right. So we'll beep it.
Going off the side of the road.
Yeah, yeah, he would. Stop, yeah. Pull the car, whatever. The car over. And people thought he was losing his marbles. Mm. But in reality, we were ahead of the curb on. Absolutely. Now they're growing it everywhere. And, yeah, you know, yeah, it's amazing.
Absolutely, man.
This season, gather together and connect to Italy with Mediaset Italia. After holiday shopping or the big meal, turn on the TV and catch the latest and greatest from Italy's top channels, Canale 5, Italia 1, and Rete 4, on Mediaset Italia, including a new season of the can't-miss talent show Amici, brand new current events program E Sempre Carta Bianca with Bianca Berlinger, new episodes of the quiz show Caduta Libera with everyone's favorite host, Jerry Scotti. Plus, brand new dramas and holiday specials. There's so much to be thankful for in Mediaset Italia, so call your local television provider today and ask for the channel.
Yeah, we've added a lot.
See, I believe in us.
Yeah.
Listen, we can do what Italy does. Why can't we?
The diaspora.
Why are we
the
worst in that?
But we have to change the cultural way.
We need to catch up.
We're fighting for that.
We're fighting? Bill Gates, man. He was trying to feed us cockroaches.
Yeah, sure.
How about that? What are we going to do when we're going to eat cockroach steaks?
We eat real meat and eat cockroaches, brother.
Anybody here ever eaten a bug? I've eaten bugs before. It's disgusting.
Oh, no, I actually haven't.
I did it.
No, I'd like to.
I did it in Thailand. It's disgusting.
You ate a bug.
I ate a lot of bugs. Yeah, I ate crickets, spiders, squirrels.
Are they all right?
Fried?
I can't even
They're
eat
fried,
sushi.
So they don't taste like, they taste like nothing, but the cockroach tastes like you would expect
a cockroach
to take. I did, yeah.
How did
stuffed.
You do that?
Oh, I just closed my eyes and did it. I like eating weird stuff.
It wasn't like wrapped in bacon?
No, it was
straight cockroach. Was it GMO? You know?
Was it cooked?
It was cooked, yeah.
So it's a fried cockroach.
It was like eating, like it was a Thai dish.
I vomit for 3 days.
I'm
with you. I can't even eat sushi. I don't
like
cockroach.
You don't eat sushi?
Oh, I don't like it, no.
Love sushi.
Wait, so okay, can we get this out of the way? What the hell is sushi mango?
Oh, yeah.
On that note.
Let's not spell it the same,
well,
firstly.
I know that. But, so thank you.
Okay, so
I could read.
For the people at home.
Many years ago when we were starting this page and starting this thing, and we're like, people are saying to us, you got to start a page. We're like, start a page? What do you mean? Facebook page. And then my son was 3 years old at the time, and he was on the toilet doing a number two. Which, you know, he's 3 years old, so you got to keep the door open because you got to do the wipe.
God forbid something happen. Yeah, but you got to go in there, yeah.
And he said, was saying, sushi, mango.
We're on the couch trying to think of a name, and this kid's on the toilet screaming out sushi, mango, and we're like, I was like, can you tell your son?
That was another guy.
And we don't know. No one knows why he was screaming.
No, I think he must have eaten sushi and mango, so we were thinking about this name, and then I said, "What about sushi mango?" And he was like,
it "Sounds pretty quirky. Let's take it."
Because when we started this, we didn't necessarily, we weren't going to be the ethnic knights of Australia.
Yeah, yeah, we weren't doing character stuff. We're just doing everyday type of
Well,
you guys all came from different careers, right? So you all have different professional backgrounds. What made you guys, did you always want to be entertaners?
Yeah,
what,
I guess so,
how,
man.
Did you transition?
I always wanted to be, I'm a singer. I was in the wedding bands and corporate bands, and I used to MC moonlighting. And then during the day, I was always in sales, marketing, so on. The boys had businesses and did other things as well.
When you say, did you want to be an entertainer? There was something inside that you know that you've got, but you don't know how to release it.
Like, and you knew you wanted to fly business class one day.
Yeah. That's right. I want to be Bon Jovi, let me be honest.
But you don't know, like, you don't know, you know, growing up, always class clown. I did anything for a laugh.
Yep.
The most important thing was to get the laugh from the guys in the classroom was more important than getting an A. Like, it was, you know, so it's there. And you don't know. And then when my brother, even when he came to me, he was doing, he did this video in the car about a thank you wave.
You know, so I did a video in the car once about someone, you know, they drive past you and you just give me the finger, give me something, give me a nod.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
Acknowledge this.
And they gave me nothing. And I just pulled over and did this video and then I just put it on my Facebook. And then it got like all this traction. And then I sort of did another one and then the same thing happened. Then I was editing one. I said, Carl, look at this. And
I'd tell him, I'd go, oh, chop it a little bit shorter here, or let that out, it's funnier, or, you know, this and
then,
the other.
Then I put that out, and I said, just get in the car with me and let's do, you know, annoying friends in cars. And then we had another friend of ours who was one of the original members, Michael, who was one of Carlos' friends.
He was living with me at the time.
And we said, just sit in the back and say nothing. You know, everyone's got one of those friends. And that's what he did. And then we pressed record one day on a video and then off it went. And the rest, as I say, the rest is history. You know. And then me and Ange have been friends for 30 years because the families knew each other. And
We've all been friends.
Carlos,
different age group. Yeah.
But you know,
you're all compadre, though.
I was the baby.
Do you know when someone's 12 and someone's 9, there's a big gap?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
There's a joke I usually say, but I won't say it just to keep it clean.
Yes. Yeah, don't say it.
It involves everyone's.
And then, you know, our families basically went to the same Isleoli club. You know, everyone, you got the same club.
But the Aeolian Islands, you're a small geography to begin with, yeah.
And all the Italians, all had the club. So when we used to see each other there, then we went to school together and we're the same age and we hung out quite a lot. And then he messaged my brother.
Yeah, I came along later on.
It's weird though because we hadn't seen each other for years, right? And he had a business around the corner from my business.
Literally.
And one day he dropped into my business to buy, we was lights wholesalers. And he came in to buy some lights. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't seen him in ages. This, and I told him I saw him. And then we were doing these videos. And then he messaged me, goes, oh my God, this reminds me of stuff that they used to do back in the day on the tape recorder.
Wow.
Yeah, and he goes, I'd love to be a part of it.
And that's like you said, just briefly, Joe and I used to sit in front of a tape recorder when we were 13, 14 and just do little silly comedy things.
Yeah.
Just, no one ever heard it. It was just for us.
Yeah.
And when I saw their first videos together, because I came along at video number 4 or 5, I think it was, it immediately brought me back to their bedroom when we were kids. And I just messaged on Facebook and said, hey, love to be a part of this. Bit of a tongue-in-cheek comment. He saw it.
But I remember the days of, because I was 9 at the time when they used to make, and I used to piss myself laughing.
Yeah.
I'd try and hold my laughter in.
Yeah.
And they'd be doing these recordings. And I just said, come along. You know, we'll do a video together. And then it just became this thing where every Wednesday we would meet up and it was like therapy. Yeah. I'd have my business. He had his business. He was working. Every Wednesday we'd meet up and we would just literally just laughter. So we got addicted to camaraderie and the friendship and the laughs that we're having. And then it went viral and then it was just like this sort of steamroll effect. Then you find out it's your calling. It's like finally all these years that, you know, you wanted to make people laugh and you're like, this is what I've been put here to do.
And it's really funny that Andrew mentioned once, because we did, there's an arena in Melbourne, Rod Laver Arena. And we sold out 3 shows there of about 14,000 people, right? And then we did a bunch of Sydney and all those other arenas as well. But Andrew, what you said about the bins once?
Oh, yeah. So originally my very first business that I remember, my father was a skip hire business, much like the rubbish skips you see outside. And I used to drive past him, old rattly old truck. I would have been 19 or 20. And I used to think to myself, you know, one day I'm going to get my skip bins in that arena.
Wow.
You got more than over the thing. I'm going to get my skip bins in. I never did. Obviously.
You did one better.
20 years later, we broke the house record and we did 3 shows there.
Wow. So it's just people say, how was it? And I can be honest to tell you, I don't know because it's so surreal.
But it's organic, right?
Yeah,
it's so surreal. Like even being here, talking to you guys now, it's all happened because of what we've done back at home, and it's so surreal. It's just, it's very weird, very humbling and weird. Thank you. I love you all.
There's something about that makes for the authenticity, I think, that attracts an audience, right? That, when you really being around each other.
We try and we do enjoy hanging out. We make each other laugh. When we used to do those very first videos, if you go back and watch them, there was always a minute and a half worth of bloopers because we used to laugh so much at just the stuff, but because it was dumb. Or you try and look at someone's face and say something meant to be serious or funny, you laugh so much, and we're just having such a great time, you know. And
what you said was, it's very true. Like we spend so much time together. I kind of feel like I'll divorce my wife before I lose these guys.
Yeah.
It's like we're
going to bleep that out
them,
too.
I'm going to see more often than I'm home.
She's not going to let you back in the house. You know
what I mean? She's not going to listen. She's not going to listen to this.
That's what I say. My wife, I can say anything I want about my wife. She'll never see it. Never. She don't want to see any more of me than she has to.
So she won't understand.
But you know, it's like we couldn't sell out an arena. My wife wouldn't even show up if we did one. But we traveled for our little show together, and I remember, like, the last time we were away for a couple of days, and Ro said, you know, who's luckier than us that we get to spend time with our closest friends? And we do really love each other. Not to get
absolutely
cheesy, but like,
not a bad gig.
It's not a bad gig,
it's
you
not
know?
A bad gig.
Yeah. And that translates to people out there watching, because you can feel that love.
People can absolutely tell when the chemistry is forced or it's not real, or like, you know, you just got casted. Like, we didn't get cast together. Like, the producer didn't cast us to be on this show. Yeah. Patrick, this is the hands of God. That we're all together.
Yeah. What did you guys do beforehand?
It's lovely what you just said. Then actually,
it's true. It's
very touching.
What did
I mean,
we do?
I could have been starving in the Sudan, but I'm an Italian
and a professional,
hanging out with these two bacalas. Like, I mean,
it's a good gig. Like
God should have made me anyway.
He's a lawyer. Teaches law at university.
Oh really?
Patrick's a law professor.
We've been friends. We knew each other for ages.
Patrick found me. Do you want to hear how Patrick?
It's a good story.
So I started cooking with Nona back in 2009. I started making videos at the dawn of like the YouTube era.
Yes.
Because nobody was. And if you're making videos cooking, you didn't look like me and you didn't sound like me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I had this idea to do videos about Italian grandmothers. It was my father's idea. He made up he bought me a website. He built my little island where I cooked on. So I started making cooking videos, and I started posting recipes on my website, cookingwithnona.com. Patrick finds my soppressata recipe.
Yes.
And he is dismayed. He has a problem.
I was concerned for the liability.
Sorry, man. Lawyer Brian.
Yeah, lawyer mode.
He sends
you could kill people with a bad soppressata.
In 2009.
Right, the botulism, you could wipe out a family.
He sent me an email saying, I just want to tell you that this recipe is dangerous and you could kill a bunch of people if you're not. You're gonna have major problems. You know, Pat, like you could have major problems. Sure. You could have major problems.
There was no nitrate base. There was no nitrate in the soppressata.
Frank Lupiani across the street didn't use nitrate.
You gotta warn them in the recipe that I don't use nitrates and that this recipe doesn't use nitrates. Cover your backside in case somebody sues you.
Make it your own.
The whole
risk.
Family gets wiped. Yeah, make it your. We could put it in. Whole
family gets wiped out.
It happens.
No, if we were really Italian, I would have just written, "Don't make this. Do yourself a favor. Don't make this."
Yeah.
Yeah. Do not do it.
I just worried about the last thing.
I just worry about why people put nitrates in their salon. What the hell is nitrates?
It's something.
Well,
it makes your car go faster.
Sounds like octane. Like
that's a good
Frank
question.
Across the street didn't do.
So that was your first interaction.
That was our first interaction. I'm
like, be careful. I don't want to see you get in trouble.
What did you say?
Because she's like 22, and I don't want somebody suing her. Because now the whole family's wiped out. Because think about this.
Are you married?
Italians, no.
You're not married.
For many reasons. Okay. Old Italians are good with salt. So they know exactly, they'll get a handful of salt, they can figure it out, and somehow they all survive. But do they sell pink salt in Australia?
Yeah.
Not the pink salt.
It's Himalayan salt.
It's a nitrate-based salt for supersada sausage cures.
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
Right, so I just said, you just got to say, if you make this without soupressade salt, I just wanted to warn. But that's built a friendship.
What did you say?
I was going to say, look where you are now.
He said, screw you.
I think I was reading it. I was like, Dad, could you believe this fucking guy? I don't think I answered the email, or I made Vito answer it in a nice way. My father's name is Vito. And that's it. And then I saw you again.
I've worried about you.
Well,
that's been our relationship.
Thank
I worry
you.
About
these
you.
Are like my brothers. These are the brothers. I have a brother, but my brother's like a Jew. He lives in Canada. But these are like, I see them more than I see my brother. Brother.
We worry because she's like the kid.
Well, that's great.
I'm their little sister. But like then we saw each other again at an awards thing. We got a little warm.
I'm whacked out. You know the problem is I think too much. So I research stuff, but then when you know too much, it's better you don't know. Like jarring tomatoes, right? What's happening now is tomatoes are getting less acidic, just naturally.
You could blow up the house, giant tomatoes.
You could blow up the house. So yeah.
That is true. It's true.
Jar of tomatoes. What are you talking about? What do you mean?
You can't listen to this. You can't let.
I need to listen to this now.
Scale. You got to test the pH on your tomato.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to test the pH. I know you're going to test
the pH. Who's got a pH meter lying around?
If I go out blowing up the house jarring tomatoes, is there a more perfect death for me?
Where do you even buy a pH meter?
It's fun. Because then you have a tomato that's an all-powerful tomato. You have a jarred tomato that you've done. See, that's my thing. The research. You got to know. She gets mad at me, so I gotta say it.
Right, we're talking about all this food. Man.
No, I want to die.
Doesn't even know what pH is.
No, of course not.
We're talking
volume. What is shame?
pH means Philadelphia.
We're talking about all this food. What we brought for you today.
Ah, yes.
Oh, yeah, you brought some stuff.
All right,
oh,
is a little taste some of very, Australia. Very...
But now that we're now...
Oh!
Australia.
I think I know what it is. I've never had it. If it's what it,
I but I feel like before we give it to him, we have to sign a, sign a waiver or something. With this.
Someone get the pH tester. It's got nitrate and it's fine. All right, so we brought a little jar of Vegemite. Have you ever had Vegemite before?
I've always wanted to have it at a special moment in my life.
It's made of gasoline and it's got sprinkles and
shoe polish.
No, it's wheat. It's yeast extract.
Cow manure.
Delicious. Right?
Wheat, barley, salt, minerals.
You're giving away.
I'm getting
turned on.
I'm getting turned on just listening to the ingredients. Wow, fermented.
I'm very excited about this. Right. I've waited a whole lifetime. Right. Now, so you've had it.
Listen,
before. I've had it. Yeah,
you're supposed to really have it on some bread or some toast or
crackers.
The real way is toast, a little bit of butter. And then you don't put a lot. You just put a little bit on. But some people put a lot on.
I'm going to tell you what
Give a nice bit.
In the culinary
world. That's enough. You have to let that. But you got to do it all at once. Do it all at once. One at a time. Not one at a time. Doing it all at once.
That's good. Thank you.
You've had it before.
I've had it.
I'm afraid
that.
Where's that face mask?
Oh, wait.
Wait.
Before you do this. We need commitment that all of it's coming off the spoon.
Yeah,
you have to have all of it.
Yeah.
You need to
We eat tripe and brains, and this is like nothing.
I'll look up and sell
it. I ate rice.
I think this smells like my face mask that costs $500.
But I will say, though, you make a point, right? Because this is supposed to be eaten on
I'll have some with look.
A little bit goes a long way. It's that umami.
But listen, you can't be
going deep in here.
Before I eat, I got to ask a question.
I'll have some
with you. You're Italian Australian. You're born in Australia, right? So it's... Being Italian Australians, this is like a peanut butter for us. It's like it's octagonist to the place. Will the Italians off the boat eat this in Australia? Do they call you crazy?
No, not in a million years.
Without any doubt.
So they yell at you for like, why do you eat this garbage?
That would never reach any, like within 200 feet of our house. I don't even know. My mum brought it once. I think she thought it was for the car.
It does look like a polish.
Does this fall under, like ketchup, mayonnaise, mustard?
No, it's more of a spread.
It's not ketchup.
Would
your mother put in that category?
No, my father used to use this to grease our trucks.
There are certain Italian parents, like my father is anti ketchup, mayonnaise, mustard, condiments.
He won't use them at all.
Won't use it. Is that like,
it's a spread. It's more of a spread.
No, it's okay. It's an acquired taste, I believe.
Let's just eat it.
Whatever you do.
Wait, swirl it around your mouth. Don't be a soft.
No, just go straight in.
Don't be a soft like that.
Is this my water?
You got to swallow it. Swirl it
around. No spitting, all swallowing, eh?
Oh, she pushed you down it already.
It's salty.
Yeah.
Oh, you're struggling with it. Taste like your mouth.
Move the tongue around.
They got to let it swirl.
I like it.
Huh?
Yeah.
You're crazy.
I like it.
No, I'll tell you why.
It has a salty.
It's coladura.
Oh.
It's the same.
It's coladura.
Coladura. No,
it's an alige knuckle.
It's not an
alige.
No,
but it has
that alige. It's umami. It's think about this. It's coladura. It's like the alige juice.
It's got an aftertaste.
It's like
almost a proper than other
coladura.
It's going to hang around a while.
It's got multiple aftertastes.
Water. I like it.
I like it.
I love that alige.
Water won't wash that away.
There's one aftertaste. There's another aftertaste.
No, there's 13 aftertastes.
Do you guys like it?
Do you like it?
Ooh, that I know how to do. That I know how to do. I know how to do the slow
That's for you, man.
Oh, you know what?
I got it. Thank you. Thank you. Told me to do the temptation.
I think this would be delicious in broccoli rub.
It tastes like an anchovy. It's umami. What's that?
No, give me that. I gotta watch.
Wouldn't that be good with broccoli rub?
Yeah.
I believe this would be good with broccoli rub.
I've already had this.
Tim Tam. This is a famous biscuit.
Now, these are biscuits.
These are delicious.
In any supermarket.
This screen is jangling.
This is a famous biscuit.
You love that.
You
finish it already?
Not bad, huh?
Now, what you want to do is if you get the take one home, put it in your pocket.
She knows.
And then you've done the slam.
She's done the slam.
You have to bite opposite corners, and then you put it in a coffee, and then you suck through the corner.
Wait, hold on. When did you come up with this?
And
now
it hydrates. And it's, I didn't come up with it. It's an ancient Australian.
It's not ancient.
It's been going for
200 years.
Listen, we didn't rate the Vegemite. What did you rate that out of 10, the veggie?
I love it. I see it in a different way. I see that as like an allege, and I love
it. I see it as something I want to give to all my enemies.
I give it a solid 9.
Why?
No. A 9? Vegemite?
If eating it just from the spoon, it's a 5.
No.
Using it and stuff, it's a 10.
And you?
It's a knockout flavor 10.
Zero for you. Okay. I'm taking the 0 like from you.
It's a negative 600.
Okay. Yeah, that's even worse.
I never
want to
see it again.
Yeah, previous. And what about the Timmy's? Tim Tam.
Those are delicious. Those are 12.
No, that's the Irish for me. That's like the Jacob's biscuits.
That a 10?
I say nine.
It takes no more salt and then pass it on. This is called a cherry ripe. It's obviously a bar.
So that's dark chocolate with a cherry, coconut inside.
It's my favorite bar, by the way.
There's going to be nothing bad about this. This is going to be delicious.
Some people don't like them.
This was my favorite.
Some people don't rate it.
Put those in the fridge overnight. Oh, it's amazing.
Like that?
And then the best part about it is the coconut
like
gets stuck in your teeth. You can
it's
eat
like
it later.
It's like a cherry mounds, like a cherry almond joy.
Yeah, yeah. The texture. It tastes like Jacob's Mikado biscuit.
Don't know what that is, but
I don't know what it is. It sounds nice.
That's what it tastes like.
It tastes like a jelly roll.
Like a jelly, yeah, like a Jewish candy.
Yeah.
Jelly roll.
Not bad.
Look at their food, right? You see England, right?
100%. Very English.
Very English. Well, Cadbury's.
They don't sell them in England.
But
you could see the roots. You could see the English roots.
Absolutely.
Not famous for the food, England.
No.
Not famous.
No. Like growing up, we never saw any of this stuff in our house.
So no.
Tim Tam?
No, I did. Tam.
Not in my house.
I had cherry ripes.
Tim Tams?
As a 10-year-old, you had cherry ripes in your house?
My mum was pretty hip.
My dad.
We had Tim Tams. The Vegemite, we didn't. Maybe like one jar that was in there for, we don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why the veggie. Well, I told you, it's for the grease, the tires.
But like, I wasn't allowed to have, like, my father had 7 mayonnaise, and so like, we weren't allowed to have that stuff.
What is the Aussie palate? Like, when you're cooking in your restaurant,
we got two conversations going.
Yeah, sorry.
It's a really tight conversation with 14 going on at once.
I've come to a place of peace in my life. There's non-Italian people that make terrible Italian food. We call them Medigan people.
Yeah.
And you're never going to change them. They like disgusting stuff.
Olive garden.
You got to live with that, right?
The ketchup sauce on their part.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. And you try to convert them, then you realize it's a waste of time. Is there Aussie issues? Is there stuff like, ooh, that's disgusting? Is there stuff that you make that they get all worked up on because their palate is not our palate?
Well, let's just say atripa wouldn't go down well with the Aussies.
Wow.
Tripper.
You guys like tripper?
I love it. We got a trip night.
I'm the only one.
I'm with you. I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan of tripper.
Tripper goes into tripe. Either you love it or you hate it.
No,
middle road.
They make me go, and they make me go just to let me sit there and discuss.
So, this is the story we heard about the tripper in Florence. It's street food, it's a roll, and they get it out, and it's all juicy, and they put it in the.
There's a place.
But problem is. The person who told us his story was a culinary guy. He's on MasterChef. You know MasterChef? You guys have a MasterChef?
Yeah, we have.
So his name is Matt Preston. He was the judge on MasterChef for 11 years. And he reckons he had this roll. He put it up to his mouth and he could smell.
The gaga.
Okay, because apparently the cow has four stomachs and the further down it gets,
now,
the more like.
Under no circumstances. Am I going to eat a roll that smells like poo?
No.
Yeah, because they didn't clean it.
France, you know.
But shame on the butcher. Yeah. If you clean my tripa really well, there's no tripa issue.
How about we just don't eat the stomach that has the
smells blood. Like
no, it's the best.
How about we try that part out?
I figure if it's anywhere near poo beforehand, you just don't eat that
yeah, but what's
stuff.
The sausage?
Put it away. We're sausage. Not living Let's in the 19. We're not 1800s or 1700s.
I just like
it out. Get it out.
You got to love it.
Give it to the dogs.
Love.
I've had some. I like it. I actually like it.
Yeah, me too.
I just love it. If it smells like...
So that happened to me in France.
Shame on the butcher.
But wait, that happened in France. I went to Avignon's, like the whatever city was like the tripe capital of France, and my wife and I went and I said I gotta try it here because I love it in, you know, in America. So I ordered it. I didn't think it was gonna be different than ours, and they brought it. It was like a weird sausage roll, and the minute I put the knife, just touched it, and I didn't realize all the waiter when they brought it out, the whole wait staff lined up to watch me.
Oh.
And they were like, oh, you really want this? Yeah. They brought it out. Like, the knife
He's
just,
gonna eat it,
the knife yeah. just touched it. And it's like, you could almost see the nuclear waft of mushroom cloud.
He wants to eat the tribe. Come inside. Somebody in the car in the back. I got Francois, come here. Someone better eat the tribe. Someone go eat the papoo.
It tasted like it smelled and then it tasted like they just used literally the last part of the
cow. Yeah, but that's just saying you keep
it. No, no, it was bad. It was bad.
The French, listen. When my grandma used to clean tripe, it was like she was doing surgery. It was like an all-day thing they had to get in because years ago, stuff didn't come clean like today. Today, thanks to modern technology, you could clean all that stuff out. It comes nice and white.
Nitrates.
Nitrates. Sprinkle on some big nitrates.
Get the whole pH level tester out.
We campaign. We're sick people. We understand that. And this is a vehicle of our mental illness. And we're trying to, because our fear is that we're getting into a country, especially the Gen Z crowd. We got big problems with them because they have a Pop-Tart palate, right? They're used to eating stuff out of a box.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got to fight that because we're like, you got to eat anchovies, you got to eat adrip, and you got to eat all the other stuff because we have to expand their palate. And then they hear this and then they hide.
Yeah. But this is going to be tough when you say, don't eat the Pop-Tart. Have this shit smelling.
But we got to spin it.
Maybe we don't start with that.
People, listen, I went to a dinner.
There's no way to make poo sound appetizing, man. No matter what you say. You can put a drip of flavor Tim Tam. No one's buying a drip of flavor Tim Tam, bro.
You might be much like poo Pop-Tarts,
mate. Drip of flavor. Drip of flavor Tim Tam. No one's buying it.
This is going to happen. Some 22-year-old kid that's going to have that mental note. That dripa smells like the defecation of a cow, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We don't want that message because we're bad. See, you're lucky because you're three generations away from, I don't want to worry, like, we're becoming a globalized world, right? It's really global, right?
Sure.
You're getting a monopal and stuff like that. And we're fighting to preserve, right? Because we're sick people and we're trying to, well, I don't know what we're trying to preserve. I went to a dinner, there's people from Scogliati, which is a Frazione Vittoria outside of Ragusa. They have a club in New Jersey, and I went to one of their dinners, and all the retired people from Scogliati, the old guys cook, they made the one fish dish after the other. The sardines were phenomenal. They had branzino, but they had the whole branzino.
I could have made branzino. It wouldn't.
I don't know what is that's an American
sea
word.
Sea bass.
Okay.
Mediterranean sea bass.
Mediterranean sea bass, and it was phenomenal. And all these Gen Z kids, they see a fish with a head on it, and they like run outside.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
really
true.
I've never had a fillet of fish since I was 2 and a half.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, your uncle used to suck out the eye.
Absolutely.
You know?
My grandfather's village is a fight over eyes. Yeah. I always wanted to try them because they would eat the eyes. It was like the older people got the eyes.
Yeah.
And then I tried the sheep's eye. My brother and I made capuzel, and I'm like, I don't know why they fought. It was the only part that
you tried the sheep's eye?
I did, the eyeballs, yeah.
Oh, was it juicy?
Yeah, it was weird.
Was it like lard, like chewy, fatty,
gelatinous,
creepy, like a lot of that head meat is good. Tongue is delicious. Brains,
I love the tongue.
Brains are nice.
You can stick all of that right up.
I'll taste these things, but I'm not like, ooh, I need a tongue.
No, you feel like some tongue tonight.
No one ever went to bed. Go, man, I'm dying tomorrow with an eyeball.
I've gone to a nightclub wanting some tongue. I'll tell you that much.
I don't dream of the trip for sandwich.
No one does.
You like Musa de Borca?
Musa de Borca?
Musa de Borca?
The face. Yeah, the face.
All those Neapolitan people.
Like the snout? No, I've never had any of that
stuff. Take the snout and the lips
and all the other.
Look, I'll give it a go, but I won't go searching for
a little
for
bit
it.
Of lemon.
Yeah. You know,
they don't have that in the feast when you're like in Calabria and in Campania. It's all over the place.
Man, a little bit of lemon. I've had it before years ago. It doesn't.
Maybe
it doesn't
do you know it for in me. In
you
the
name villages. It, Pat's eating it.
Yeah.
How's your fish in Australia?
Good.
Yeah, we stuff. Got
you
great
must
fish.
Have good fish.
Good everything. Good. Everything.
Fish is good.
We're always getting mussels from New Zealand.
Yeah.
That's
all right. Are they?
Well, whatever the fish is, we got to get over there. First of all, you guys have been so gracious to spend this much time with us.
Oh, thank you for having us.
We're going to bill you for it, but
it's fine. Nothing's going to come out of you.
No, as we wrap it up, we have very strong relations with the Italians in Australia.
Yes, we do. I'm saying we have
listeners who formed an Italian-Australian podcast.
Have you heard of the Italian-Australian podcast?
Italian-Australian podcast.
Yeah.
Italian-Australian they just podcast. Launched it a couple months ago.
Oh, okay.
Well, there are peeps.
We like that.
We'd love to speak to them if you
want
to.
We got to send you.
Yeah.
And you guys are coming back here, most importantly, in February.
Yes.
You're going to have a big show.
Yes.
Tell us for a little bit where it is, how you
Malta Bigger Betty yeah. Show.
Malta Bigger. It's a bigger show. So we're going across North America, New Zealand, and London. And so Canada. We're doing that's North America.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
I should have known that.
Tell him, please tell him. Please let him know. You want to go to the desert with this guy?
Why is it called North America?
Because it's that's
well, North, why did they make it Canada then?
Let's just promote the shows, man. Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
No, but we've got an expert who could explain it.
Anyway, we're going through Vancouver, starting in Vancouver, LA, Chicago, back to Toronto, Montreal, and then we're heading over Boston, New York, and Washington as well, and then last off London. It's our big show that we did in Australia last year, and what did we sell? 150, 160,000 tickets.
Wow.
So we want everyone, please.
We're going to sell 12 tickets.
Yes.
No, you're not, because we're going to beat those drums.
We're going to head out there.
We hate cheap people. So we sell our people, because Italians have all their money under the mattress. Confirmation money.
Yeah, just a couple bills we need.
Take it out. Come to New York if you're in the middle of nowhere in America.
We get free tickets, right?
Absolutely.
You guys get 3% off. Which is very generous from where we're from.
We're not coming for free.
We've got some tickets.
We've broken the record in New York already. We've sold 7 tickets, so it's been great. it's basically a show about growing up ethnic, right?
Yeah, just, it's our characters. If you watch our stuff online, you'll see our characters, and it's us, the characters in different situations, 5 or 6.
And it's all new material. It's all, so not what you see online.
Yeah, you've never seen it. All new material.
There's some song and dance.
It's a production. It's something that we think that America or these places haven't seen before. It's something that...
I don't think it's been done here before. I mean, there's a lot of stand-up comedians that running around this side of town, and they do, they might do a little bit of Italian stuff and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We are actually, like you said before, is that we actually act them out. The characters are on stage. It's pretty raw. We're pretty raw. When I say that, like if we muck up, we laugh.
Sure.
And we enjoy it with the crowd, and we just try and... be as authentic as possible as these characters on stage. Fully scripted show, and it's a lot of fun.
We're very proud of what we've produced because it's very much Italian, but it's not just unique to the Italian culture. If you're an immigrant of any sort, you'll get to hear
and if you've seen our stuff, it's like what my brother said before, because it's what? It's the 1,047th best show ever.
If you put all the shows together.
In the world. That's not bad because
it's been like, at least 50,000 shows.
It's right.
It's not bad.
1,047. We're happy with that.
Perspective. I would be too. I'd be thrilled. 1,047.
But we want to really thank you guys for having us here.
Thank you.
Honestly.
We're very honored to have you.
We're expecting a bowl of poo smelling next time we come visit.
I actually would like to go to a Tripa night with you guys.
Yeah, you would love it. They make delicious.
I'd like to do that.
They make a Calabrese kind, a Sicilian kind, a Neapolitan kind.
Braised with breadcrumbs.
Oh, delicious.
Braised.
But honestly, guys, we want you to be our guests on the night to make sure you come and bring your family. We are very excited to present this show to you, all of you here. So we can't wait to do it.
I can't wait to see it.
Our listeners, get out, get the tickets, buy it now. Christmas is coming. It's a great Christmas gift.
Yeah.
When is the show?
It's in February 28 in New York.
You got Valentine's gig. Get a Valentine's Day gift. Bring your family. Come to New York. They're on camera now, right?
Yeah.
Travel out here. Fly out here. Make a weekend. We have to support the Italian Empire of Culture around the world. They're coming. They have to have a warm welcome.
Oh,
got the money under your mattress. Take a few bills out. Dust them off. And support. Because this is culture. This is culture.
Yeah,
this is the beauty of theater. And we have to
support. So just to let your fans know, there is some colorful language.
Yeah.
Some small minority of people are like, why do you swear when you do the comedy? We're like, because my dad used to swear when I grew up.
But like, you without swear. You put an R in the F word.
Yeah.
Which is funny. Different. It's like an Italian, Australian.
Yeah.
Well, you hop on about authenticity. It has to be authentic. It's simple as that.
And in order to be authentic, we had to talk the way they talked and do it the way they did it. So that's why we do it.
Summon a bitch.
Like, we wouldn't bleep that out on our show because that's what my grandmother and great grandma would have said. Yeah. Summon a bitch, but
If you've watched any one of our videos, it's nothing worse than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, listen, there are people who think I'm cursing when I say friggin'.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So
it's a fine line.
So we say we say frickin'er. But with the F word.
Because you know when they're just saying, they didn't even know that I was swearing.
No, they didn't know what the word was.
They would say inner. You know, they would say that, but that's like when they say it's like, oh, it doesn't really count.
And like he always says, the idea of cursing in Italian is very different than the idea of cursing in the Anglo world. And because, the Italian word for cursing is bestemmi, right?
Yeah.
Bestemmi is cursing, is saying cursing the blessing.
Have you ever translated some of the stuff that they say? Some of the worst things.
And it's about like your loved ones, your dead ones. You know? It's a different thing than here.
Oh,
those words. We curse your legacy.
Yeah. It's half Malocchio when you curse.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't there something beautiful, the love we have for a family? That we curse your relatives.
Absolutely.
We curse you and your dead relatives
and your sister and your cousin, everyone. Yeah.
Best curse. We have found a book of Neapolitan curses. It was a dictionary like this in Naples, and we're flipping through it and we're laughing. And my favorite one ever was Agastania Mama, the curse your mother's chestnuts was all time favorite. Like only a Neapolitan could come up with.
My mom used to say, "Get the big young corpi sangue," which loosely translated means, "May you get a heart attack."
Oh, God.
What?
What is wrong with these people?
Can you imagine being told that at the age of 5?
I remember a lot of things being called at a young age and thinking, like, if any of my American friends knew what my mother was saying to me right now, they would be mortified. But it was just come.
Well, I thought until I was 8 years old, my name was Yotamatsu.
I'll kill you.
But seriously, thanks, guys. Thanks for having us. It's an absolute pleasure.
Enjoy your trip to the United States.
Thank you.
Anything we can do to help her out, we're here.
Thank you. And we can't wait for you guys to come to Australia.
We'll be there.
We're coming. You can be our guests at the restaurant.
Even if we don't go business class, we got to go.
We will look after you.
Don't worry. We're going long haul like the Muppets. They're going to have us in the back with the luggage. They're going to drop us over a lake. But we're going to do it Muppet style, I promise you.
We will look after you. We'll help you with whatever you have to do over there. We'll make sure we set it all up for you, man.
Thank you. Coming into this, we knew how big and successful you guys were, selling out arenas and stuff. Didn't know we could expect such kind and amicable.
Oh, no, which is all fake.
It's all an act.
We thought we were getting paid.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you guys for being here. Hope you've enjoyed. We're going to link on our show page every tour date. Please come out. Come see us if you're in New York. We're going to be there. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
See that you're born in Italian.